Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Roster gymnastics. That's really kind of where we're at right now, right? Today, yesterday?
The next
roster
Olympic sport.
Gymnastics. What's that?
The next Olympic sport. Right? Because
it might be. Gymnastics. I mean, how would that work? You take a bunch of NFL GMs and you kind of have them put together their plan, and then the German judge is like, you know what? I really like that plan. You did a really good job of getting that guy to IR before that guy. I like that a lot.
I mean,
the Italian judge is like, nah, that really doesn't make sense.
They have Excel championships now to see how fast people can work in Microsoft Excel. So I think anything.
That's not true.
I'm dead serious. Yeah.
What do you do in the Excel championship? How does that work?
I'm not 100% sure on that. I just know it's.
Oh,
like,
you know you do. You know this because you've tried out or something. I know.
No, I don't even know how Excel works, and I'm supposed to be part of the generation that knows how to do all that stuff.
Yes, right. Exactly.
No, I am.
It's
something they do every year. They just did it on December 10th of 2023 was the last. Or I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that was the last one, I think. I think they still have to do it this year. Probably in December, they'll do it again. The Microsoft Excel World Championship Finals.
Microsoft is Excel. Are you a Microsoft guy mostly?
I mean, I don't know. I've never really had a preference, I guess, now that I think about it. I've been using Apple products for years now. Oh, yeah.
I've been using Apple products for years now. So
I have an iPhone.
Numbers
so.
Is like what? But my Excel is numbers.
Oh. I didn't even
spreadsheet?
I've never had like a Mac or anything. I've had Windows computers, but I've had iPhones for all my phones.
Okay, well, see, that's weird to me. Like, I get like you need to. To me, you got to have. They should have the same thing across platforms. It's so much easier. So I use Apple products, and I can share anything from my phone to my computer anytime I want. Like, it's all in a cloud. Now, maybe you could do that at Microsoft, but if you're going from Microsoft to Apple, you can't do that, right?
Right. It's a lot harder to take a Microsoft,
right.
Like something from a Microsoft device and put it onto my phone or vice versa. It's kind of tricky. I mean, you can get there. It takes more steps.
So for example, because we're going to weave this back into football, I promise you. I do the Bills spreadsheet, the Bills roster on a spreadsheet. The spreadsheet I use is called Numbers. That's the program. That's the app on for Apple. So I go on and I can, you see it. I tweet out the Bills roster all the time. And especially nowadays, it'll happen again today after they start doing practice squad and things like that. And yesterday I tweeted out the Bills roster and you can see it right there. It's got, you know, it's the 53, which we're going to talk about in a little while. And what happens is I put it on Numbers. That's the spreadsheet I use. Well, on my iPhone, I have an app for Numbers. So literally I could be out anywhere. And if the Bills make a roster move, I just go to the app on my phone, plug in the name, take out another name. Bam, it's right there. Now I can just share it again if I want, because I could do that either way. You know what a new thing I do a lot of now, and maybe I'm late to the party here. I've actually done this for a while, years. I don't think so. I think it's a good tip. I was just telling a couple of people about this weekend down at Coaches versus Cancer, talking about staying on top of things and reporting and writing articles. What I do, I speak articles onto my phone, on my notepad. So because I talk for a living, I get in this business to be a talker, not a writer. But in this day and age, we have to write. Kids, you want to be in the media? Learn to do everything. You got to write. You got to talk. You got to do video. Everything, right? Nowadays, it's a lot easier. You're used to it. I was not. We were not. Even Josh probably wasn't, you know, like that growing up when he wanted to get into the media. And he's younger than me. But so what I do now, Josh, is let's say I'm leaving a Bills game and I have to do arrow up, arrow down. Because I don't necessarily want to stick around for a couple hours and do it in the press box, but I will. It's just depending on what time it is, if it's a night game, traffic, all that kind of stuff. So I'll leave the Bills game. I'll take out my phone in my car. And on my drive home, I'll literally do arrow up, arrow down. And it'll sound something like this. Arrow up, Josh Allen. Allen was terrific on the day. He went 16 for 21 for 289 yards and 3 touchdowns, adding 45 rushing yards and another TD. And I'll have that. In today's world, our phones recognize our voice and the enunciation, and it's all good. Now, there's going to be a few misspelled words there. Anyway, so I'll do the whole column, close to it. I'll get home, open up my computer, bam, it's right there in my notes because they talk to each other. And then I just transfer it. I just edit it, and I transfer it. Now, sometimes I miss a few words here or there. I get it. Like the editing part, right? I'm just trying to look it over and like, oh, crap, missed that. I'll publish it and go, oh, man. But that's how it works. So makes it a lot cooler. Makes it a lot easier, to be quite honest.
I found some info on this eSport, as they call it.
Okay, go ahead. What do we
got? Basically, it doesn't involve finance at all, which is usually what you use these types of spreadsheets for. What I'm looking at with these screenshots and reading about it, it's a competition where you solve unusual game tasks, and they basically make the spreadsheet into a game map, and people have to figure out how to move around this map or something. And like, there's got to be some sort of goal. I haven't figured out the goal yet of the game, but it's like you're solving a puzzle essentially, and it's whoever can do it the fastest and the most technical and all that stuff. I don't know. I knew about it, but I never knew it was like this technical. I thought it was just.
Why don't they just play Sudoku? Let's be honest.
Right, exactly. Or Minesweeper. What happened to that? Let's just go back to the good old days.
It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The other voice you hear is Josh Schmidt producing today. So when you give a call, Josh will take that call and put you on the air. We'll get to your calls here in a little while. 803-0550 is the number. I'm really interested in what everybody thinks about the Bills 53-man roster. I had a projection that I put out there. I didn't actually go and score myself, but pretty good. There were a couple things that I had wrong. There are a couple things that I called that I had right that I thought were going to be close. I did not have Lael Collins making the roster. He did not make the roster. And I had Tylan Grable, and he did. I had Kingsley Jonathan. He did not. I certainly had Daquan Hardy. He did not. I had Tyrell Shavers. He did not. So there were surprises to me. What surprises were for you? What surprised you? And, you know, what do you think about it? Where are you concerned? Where are you confident? Whatever. Just let's talk about the roster. Anything that comes to your mind, we'll take your phone call on that today. Coming up at 10:30, my guy Mike Catalana out in Rochester. By the way, brand new. He's going to be inducted soon into the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame. So congratulations to Mike. He's going to join me, and he's been covering the Bills, obviously, for many years. He'll be out there today. There's going to be practice, or you know, his station will be out there. But Mike's been on top of things at training camp as well. We'll get his thoughts on the roster, the 53-man roster, and how it's shaped. At 11, that's at 10:30. At 11, really excited to talk to Boy Green. Now, you know him as Boy Green. Paul Esden out in Syracuse. He's of the Manchild Show in Syracuse. He also does a daily Jets show. And the reason I reached out to Paul today, he's been on the program before, is the Bills made a trade yesterday. Now, no one saw this coming, right? Brandon Codrington. I put the over-under at trades as at a half, and it went over. I didn't expect more than one, but it was possible. The Bills made a trade. They acquired a player. Now, I think if I told you the Bills were going to make a trade on cutdown day, you might say they're going to trade away a player. Maybe they have a little more depth on the O-line or at edge. They didn't do that. They did trade for a player, Brandon Codrington of the New York Jets, which is really interesting. He actually has a very kind of similar story to Joe Andreessen, who did make the 53, and of course we'll talk about that. But Brandon Codrington went undrafted, and then he went to a rookie tryout, and then he signed a contract. And it looked like, apparently, like he wasn't going to make the 53 like Joe, because otherwise the Jets wouldn't trade him for a swap of late-round picks. But he showed enough in preseason that, A, the Bills liked him, and B, Jets fans, I think a lot of them are like, why did we do that? Yeah, they like Gibson, the return man who beat the Bills on the punt return last year. He's there. They invested some draft picks and some guys who can do it, so... You know, there's some Jets fans going, I don't know. I mean, this is a guy they probably wanted in their practice squad, but hey, they got an asset for him. They moved up around in the draft in 2 years, by the way. That swap of late round picks is 2026, not even 2025. There's a lot of time between now and then. The Bills essentially get Codrington free for a year, and I guess even really kind of free anyway, because it's really a swap of late round picks. So whatever the difference there is. So we'll talk with Paul Esden about Brandon Codrington and the Bills' newest quarterback, Mike White. Mike White, reportedly, not official yet, is going to join the Bills' practice squad. So what does that mean? Okay, so yesterday, Mitch Trubisky made the 53-man roster. Not a surprise, but there was a chance they were going to IR him with designated to return. But they didn't. They put him on the 53. Then it comes a report. Not long after that, a few hours, that Mike White is visiting the Bills. Then, bam, Mike White signs with the Bills, or he's going to sign. You can't make it official yet. So I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, okay, what does this mean? My initial thought was, and I tweeted this out yesterday at Sal Sports. Go follow me there, please. I tweeted out yesterday, it makes sense for if Trubisky isn't going to be ready week one. And by the way, that doesn't mean just the game. I mean practice, like next week. He needs to be ready to practice next week by now. If he's not ready to practice by week one to be ready for the game, you're going to have another quarterback ready. So it would make sense that you sign Mike White to the practice squad, and then you just elevate him for week one. And Trubisky is the inactive guy. You could do that. But let's remember, or even week two, I would say week two. Week two is the Miami Dolphins, 5 days later. Oh, by the way, he just came from the Miami Dolphins. I would think he's a very, very competent scout team quarterback as the Bills prepare on a short week for the Miami Dolphins. That would be a really, that's a bonus. Might even be a reason, right, that you do this. But I think the bigger reason is Trubisky's health. So then you think about, okay, they could do that. But the other option, which makes more sense because you can only elevate guys three times, this is what I'm thinking for Mike White. I think the Bills sign into the practice squad, and then eventually, doesn't even have to be week one because you get three elevations. Eventually, before week one probably, you put Trubisky on injured reserve. You sign Mike White to the actual active roster. Trubisky can still then come back after four games, and depending how Mike White does, you figure out what you want to do at backup quarterback two and backup quarterback three. And one of them stays as two, one of them... Maybe you'd have to waive Trubisky, he'd go to the practice squad, or you'd have to waive White. But either way, you could still have all three in the building. This is not really that hard. We just talked about roster gymnastics. It's not that hard. The money matters a little bit here, right, for the Bills. That's for Brandon Bean to figure out. Not that it's astronomical, but you want to make sure that you're having enough money around to kind of do some different things. So you have to be careful with how you structure it, how you do it. When you bring a guy up, you elevate him, or you bring him to the active roster, and then he's guaranteed a game check, and all that stuff counts against the salary cap. But my thought is now, sign White to the practice squad. Then maybe right before week one, maybe next week, you evaluate Trubisky. If he's not quite ready next week, you sign White to the active roster. Then you put Trubisky in IR for 4 weeks. Or if you think Trubisky's only going to miss 1 or 2 weeks, you just elevate White for a week or two. And he's your scout team quarterback and third team quarterback. It just seemed weird to me that it was immediate, like, bam, Mike White's visiting the Bills. Why would Mike White, to me, make that decision so quickly? Like, A, he might just want to be on the Bills. He's mad at the Jets and Dolphins. They got rid of him, right? But I think it makes more sense that, hey, you call Mike White and go, look, there's a spot for you here. We're going to use you. All right? You're going to play on the, you're going to play like on game day. You're going to be active at least on game day. And that probably mattered to him to make that decision quicker. And because the Bills probably said to me, the way it would work is, like, we got to move here. We need someone. Are you in or are you out? I'm in. Let's go. Okay. So that's how that would work. All right. That's backup quarterback. What happened with Daquan Hardy here? So yesterday, to a shock to many, including me, Daquan Hardy did not make the team. I thought he, A, was earmarked as the punt returner on this team after what we saw during the preseason training camp, how they handled him. Then, on top of that, they were training him at the boundary, not just at nickel, which is really where his natural position is probably in the NFL because of his size. And I thought he played pretty well in the boundary. Now, I'm not digging into every film at practice, right? But when I'm out there, I'm watching, there's plays he's making. He doesn't seem out of place. Looks good. I'm like, okay, it's a sixth round draft pick, right, that you invested in. Let me get that on Daquan Hardy real quickly here. Look it up, Josh, for me real quick while I do this. Daquan Hardy, sixth or seventh round pick. Because I know Travis Clayton was a seventh round pick. Did they have 2 sevenths last year? Look that up for me. Let me know. But anyway, so Daquan Hardy, he looks like he's going to be the punt return man. And I had him on the team, no KJ Hamler, which we knew he wasn't going to make it. We heard that. Andy Isabella knew he wasn't going to make it.
Sixth round pick, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, yep. I knew.
Second round pick.
I thought they had two sevens, but he was the second sixth round pick. Is that it?
Yeah, it was Tylan Gramble and Daquan Hardy.
Yeah, you
Grable,
got it.
Sorry.
You got it. Yep. Okay, thank you. So back to what I was saying. There were rumblings yesterday that Daquan Hardy had an injury of some sort, and maybe that's why they needed to bring someone else in. Okay, he may have been evaluated for an injury, but as many of you know, because I say these things all the time, and when I go through the roster rules, you can't release an injured player. You'd have to put him on IR, then you can eventually give him an injury settlement. You can't release an injured player. So if he was evaluated for an injury, it certainly wasn't significant enough to deem him injured to allow him to be released. And now you could say, well, how injured do you have to be? Well, look, there's agents and grievances and things like that that you have to deal with if you're an NFL team, and you're not going to do that. It's the rules. Because of your guy just can't, he needs to get paid. If he's hurt, like, you just can't get rid of him. So to me, we'll find out from Brandon Bean today at 2:30. Brandon Bean talks to us at 2:30 today. To me, this is a football decision based on the fact that Hardy did not go on injured reserve and was just outright waived. Why would they do that? I think there's always been concern about him as a rookie in that stadium, catching the punts, making good decisions. Yes, as the preseason went on, he did a better job of that. But how confident are you? And that's probably what it came down to. The bigger thing, too, for me was he also acclimated himself as a corner. Now, was it enough, though, to earn a spot on defense? Apparently not, because you have Russell Douglas, Christian Benford, Kyer Elam, Jamarcus Ingram. And then behind, and that's on the outside. Then behind Taron Johnson, you have Cam Lewis as a nickel. So maybe there just wasn't a spot for him on defense. He would have been a nice luxury to have. It really was about the return game. And hey, we really like him. We can develop him. We're just not totally comfortable and confident. Let's go get Brandon Codrington, who I'm sure the Bills had a book of some sort on, coming out of college, and he was with the Jets. And by the way, you know, take him away from their division rival. Okay, we'll get to a lot more here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Let's get to Jim in Buffalo, who's first up. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how you doing, guys? Great show. Just wanted to preface this little statement with, I went to Canton, Ohio a couple weeks ago, and I sat and watched the Baltimore Jets Super Bowl 1968, and I thought to myself, actually, the lot of the game was played. We, you know, televised. We watched the whole thing, most of it anyways. And I thought to myself, wow, football really hasn't changed in 50 years. I mean, because in that game, the Jets controlled the line of scrimmage, just like McDermott wants this team to do. And they were lucky. You know, the Jets were lucky, but they played a good running game. They had a good defense. And they were lucky in the fact that Earl Morrow didn't see Jimmy Orr in the end zone, and this is before you guys' time, but I remember watching that game. And I just thought the Jets played a great game that day. Good coaching, stopped the run, ran the ball effectively. And it really, that's what I think the Bills' current roster is kind of planned out to do, because you got a big physical receiving core, you've got a solid tight end crew, solid running back. I just think they're good. This roster is set up to play ball control football. I really believe that. I just from watching it, it's not going to be the quick strike. Might get some passes down the field, but for the most part, this team's going to run the ball.
Well, I don't know if I agree so much about just running the ball, but I do think it's going to look different, Jim. You bring up a good point about that game. I'm looking at the stats right now of that game. I just went back, and you're right, it was a little before me, but Namath did throw 28 times. Unitas threw 24 times. Earl Morrow came in another 17 times. They threw the ball all over the place in that game. You know, football, controlling the line of scrimmage. What's that?
There were short passes, though. There weren't. It was like Luke
that's where I think
George Sauer and
that's where I think the Bills will be this year. I don't think it's going to be about ground and pound. I don't think they're going to be controlling the line that way. And when you say control the line of scrimmage, and it was the same back then, I agree. The difference is these days, controlling the line of scrimmage is still about the run, but it's much more about controlling pass rushers. It's about keeping your quarterback clean, allowing for RPOs and different things to happen while you're back there. So I don't think you're wrong that, you know, controlling the line of scrimmage is important. I just think the way that you have to control the line of scrimmage these days is way different. Now, I do not think the Bills are going to become some heavy run team. They're going to run the ball. They did a lot last year under Joe Brady. That was circumstantial as well, weather, things like that. What I do think you're going to see, though, is, Jim, what you're saying that happened in this game, which is a little more short passes. Get the ball to your playmakers. You know what teams are doing? You know how the game's changed, Jim? Now you just play two high safeties and don't let anything behind you and over top of you, and that's forcing teams to go underneath and play a lot more dink and dunk.
Yeah, well, if you get a chance, you've probably been there before, but that Canton, Ohio was a great trip. It really was a great trip.
Yeah, I've been there, yeah. It's amazing, actually. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. It's a great Hall of Fame. Went to the Hockey Hall of Fame this past summer, actually a few months ago. Hockey Hall of Fame, to me, is the best Hall of Fame of the sports that I've been to. It is amazing. Incredible. Go to that one. But I've been to Canton as well. Been to Cooperstown. Have not been to basketball in Massachusetts, Springfield. Haven't been there. Thanks for the call, Jim. If you want to talk about the roster, you can give me a call at 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So more on the roster. Five receivers. The Bills rostered five receivers last year. They did have six at times. That's when they elevated Andy Isabella. And he didn't really do much. I think he might have had a couple punt returns, but you know, wasn't really involved that much. So five receivers isn't uncommon for this team. I think the question here would have been, what about guys who are possibly injured? Well, look, would it be stunning today if, you know, MVS went on IR? No, I don't think it's going to happen. It wouldn't be stunning. He had the neck injury. And then you sign another receiver. You claim a receiver off waivers and you do something like that. But I think for the most part, they have been set with their five. Tyrell Shavers was the surprise. I thought he'd make it. Not that Tyrell Shavers just was this incredible player during camp and during preseason. He wasn't. What he was, though, was on the field a lot, getting reps, getting looks with the ones, and steady and solid. And that tells me, again, I always tell you, it's not my evaluation of the player that matters. I could tell you all you want about who I like or don't like. My job is to tell you what I think the team likes and how I'm watching and I'm observing how players are being handled and things I hear and things I see. And I'm telling you that there was nothing that wavered me, and I would say most of my media colleagues on this, by the way, from moving off Tyrell Shavers on this roster, except numbers. That was it. It was just literally numbers. And what I mean by that is, did we think it was going to be five or did we think it was going to be six? And I always had six, but they went with five. He's got to be, to me, the sixth guy there. So does he come back on waivers, on practice squad? I don't know. I'll walk through those mechanics in a minute here because I want to get to a couple other guys. Of course, Joe Andreessen. What a great story. Joe Andreessen, Buffalo Joe. Did you catch the video of Lancaster High School head coach Eric Rupp talking with his team about and announcing to his team at practice yesterday that Joe made the 53-man roster? It's all the feel goods in the world. You'll love it. Go check it out. I tweeted it yesterday. I said, stay for head coach Eric Rupp announcing to his team that Andreessen made the roster. I'm sorry, come for that. Stay for the Buffalo Joe chant. Because as soon as he was done, the whole Lancaster High School team, Buffalo Joe, Buffalo Joe. It was just super cool. What a great story. And I hope, and I think this is the case, I do, for the most part. But there's still some people out there who might not look at it this way. And I'm telling you, you should. I hope, and I really hope, that people understand Joe Andreessen made this team. This is not some, he's a local kid, feel-good story. The Bills aren't doing that. I mean, they're trying to win a Super Bowl. We could talk about transition and, you know, what the roster looks like. They're not just handing out a spot to a local Lancaster high school player. That's not happening. Joe Andreessen was a heck of a college player. Some people thought he'd be drafted. He had a relative athletic score of the 85th best of close to 3,000 linebackers. Why he wasn't drafted? Exposure, pretty much. Questions about the level of competition. Goes to Bryant, goes to UB for 1 year. Tries out with the Bills. Goes to a tryout. Try out with the Kansas City Chiefs. They do not sign him. Goes to Buffalo, tries out with the Bills. They sign him to the 90, and now he's on the 53. He made it. It's an incredible story. We're going to be watching this. Does it last for how long? Does it last 10 years? I can't tell you. Does it last one day? I can't tell you. Because all it takes is the Bills to feel that there's somebody out there who they like better on the roster, and they could move on from Andreessen. Now,
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That would be a real deflation of the balloon, right? But they could do that. Also, there's questions about, is Bealen Specter a candidate today to go on IR and return after four games? He's on the roster now. And then Joe kind of moves into more of that backup role at Mike linebacker. You do have Nicholas Morrow still there. He's flexible. You have Eddie Lofosio. He's flexible. They can do different things with these guys. So I love the story. Of course, it's a great story, Joe Andreessen. But let's not confuse it with him or taking away from and not crediting him with doing what was needed to be done to actually make the Buffalo Bills 53-man roster. And if Joe Andreessen becomes a heck of a player in this league, hey, at least you got that over the Kansas City Chiefs for not signing them, right? Zach in West Seneca. What's up, Zach?
Hey, Sal. Just curious your thoughts, on sorry about that. I just look at the Bills receiving corps, and I just catch myself. Are they trying to be like the early 2010s Patriots where they got a good tight end and some veteran receivers? Like, is this really what they want to be, or was it circumstance that kind of got them to where they are? Because part of me thinks, like, this also reminds me of, like, the 2015 Panthers, where Newton was MVP, had a bunch of random guys, defense was really good. Like, if I try to envision my way to a Super Bowl, that's the team, and it's not, Sean McDermott and him running the defense aside, like, that's the team I most recently can point to and say, all right, mediocre receivers, good tight end, good running game, which I think they'll have, and I actually think Ray Davis can be more involved than people think. I think he's more of the all-around running back that they want. But I just wonder, like, would they, if they had the salary cap, would they have gotten another guy, or is this, like, are they happy with how they are, you know?
I think it's, first of all, I want to know, what does the baby think?
She's tired, that's what she thinks.
What's her name?
Chloe.
Chloe. Well, thank you, Chloe, for joining the Extra Point Show today. She's a star. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate it, buddy.
No,
all right.
No problem, man.
I'm going to let you go be with Chloe as I answer your question. I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's circumstantial to a degree of the finances. There's no doubt about that. I've always said I don't think that Brandon Bean has any interest in playing in the $25 to $30 million wide receiver market. Just not at this time, while he's paying Josh Allen the salary he's paying him and having to take on a lot of dead cap money. So I do think it's circumstantial. However, I think Joe Brady wants to have an offense here where he can really just move guys around, spread the wealth, spread the love. And I've always said this. The Bills want to build an offense where when a defensive coordinator goes into a meeting on Tuesday before a game or Wednesday, they can't say to their defense, this is where they're going to line up. He's got to say, he could be here, he could be there. They could go to this guy, they could go to that guy. So I think they want that. The question is, if they do, and you bring up the right question, Zach, which is, if you had the wherewithal, if you had the money, if you had the salary cap, would you go out and get that guy, though? Would you go out and say, look, it doesn't matter. He's good enough. We're going to pay him. Because I just don't think right now they, A, really want to do that after the way it went with Stephon Diggs and, you know, maybe the feeling, the aura around him, the pressure maybe to have that number one guy you got to feed. Not that Stephon was asking for it or being mad about it or anything that we knew. But I think there's a lot of that that goes on with just having a guy like that on the roster. And then he's 30 years old. You move on. And they've elected to go here. So it's a long way of saying, I guess, I think it is a little bit of both. I think it's a good question. We'll take a timeout. Mike Catalana from Rochester joining me next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah, I mean, the last week's been a little crazy. Had a lot more on my plate this week, I would say, in terms of just responsibility, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I'm here to try and continue my career, try and be the best I can for this organization, no doubt.
That's Bills linebacker Joe Andreessen. We can officially call him that. I mean, he could before, too, but he's on the team now. He's on the roster, the active roster, the 53. Joe Andreessen makes the club. We are reacting to the 53-man, initial 53-man roster. In an hour and a half from now, all waiver claims have to be in. That's the deadline, noon today. At that time, we will find out if the Bills claimed anybody who was released yesterday. Any players released yesterday who do not have 4 years' experience yet in the league, they're subject to waivers, so any team can claim them. Now, the Bills have the 28th pick in the waiver order. It goes by this year's draft. The Carolina Panthers, because they would have the original first pick in the draft, not the Bears, that was traded. The Panthers have the number one pick. If the Panthers want like five guys, they get all five. It doesn't reset. So there's minimal chance the Bills get guys unless they really want them and other, 27 teams above them just don't want the guy. And that can happen. It's happened many times before. But we'll see, because if that happens, then the Bills have to make some roster moves. Joining me on the Wester Hotline right now is Mike Catalana. And, of course, you can find Mike out in Rochester. He is at 13 Wham, also the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel with Dan Fates and Jenna Cottrell. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for joining me today.
Sure thing, Sal.
All right, so I just talked about Joe Andreessen.
Yep.
I know you're in Rochester. That's Section 5. But even over there, you know what kind of a story this is. It doesn't matter if you're Section 6, Section 5, Lancaster, Aquinas. How cool is it to see Joe Andreessen in this spot making the 53?
I think it's fantastic. I think he earned it. There's no doubt. Yep. Like, to get noticed, you know, to get noticed from a tryout perspective, even if you're local, that's great. You know, invite him to camp. That's great. You are competing against guys maybe with higher profiles, guys they have more invested in. Because, as you know, you got draft picks, then you have priority undrafted free agents. You got all these guys coming in, and here's Joe walking in with none of that, and he just kept playing the way they needed, learning the defense, showing his instincts, and then performing when he got a chance. So I think it's great. You know, we all talk about the fluidity of the roster, right? So you don't know where it's going, but at the point when they made the first 53, as they call it, the initial 53, he earned it. Let's see where it goes from there.
It's going to be really interesting. And obviously there's a question about Beal Inspector's availability. We'll see today if they make any move there. Right now it doesn't feel like that, but you never know. They could put him on IR. How tentative is that spot, though, for Joe Andreessen? Do you think that, hey, he could be one of the last guys if they really bring someone in? Or do you think they really want to see this through because they like what they've seen and want to develop him?
You know what I find really fascinating, Sal, with the way general managers manipulate the roster and the timing of things. So, Listen, if you're going to get – if your plan at some point is that you think Joe Andreessen ends up on your practice squad, is it easier to get him there during the season than it is now when everybody's roster sort of goes wide open, he's exposed to
great
waivers,
point.
And somebody makes that claim? Because everybody's filling up the roster. They already did. They already made tough decisions. Now they're looking at waiver wire. And, you know, they're looking at those vested veterans, too, that are out there, some that may not get signed till week two because it impacts the contract. So I'm not saying that's the plan. I'm saying is it could end up being the plan because of Spector's injury. Maybe it's a few weeks. Maybe he's on the roster all year long. You see how he performs because, you know, he's there and he'll be on teams, it looks like right now, to start the season. Unless they make a change. So the whole idea of the larger rosters and the practice squad, I think, is great for the NFL, but it really takes second-level thinking by a general manager and a staff to really make it work and keep the guys you need to keep and also sometimes pick just the right guy off another team's roster.
Biggest surprise for you from yesterday with the Bills?
Yeah, I got to say it was the Hardy one. And I just thought watching him, hearing Sean, that they, you know, and we heard he was nicked up a little bit. So I thought, well, maybe that plays into it. But then they just outwardly cut him and maybe they would try to bring him back. But it's a younger undrafted player with a similar kind of profile that they're picking up. It's a trust thing. Listen, I said this before, their margin of error this year, based on the change in the roster, I think gets a little tighter. I mean, this is some unproven guys, some younger players. You can't afford to have mistakes back there. I said the same thing about the kicking game, and that's with a veteran guy like Tyler Bass. It's just like, you know, on those edges, those little things that you need to do and not make mistakes. Returning kicks and not making mistakes is big, will be big for this team, especially early in the year as they're getting their footing. It's about trust, but that surprised me because, you know, he flashed a lot. I think he showed an ability to play on the outside, which was pretty good. So let's see where it goes from here, but that did surprise me.
Mike Catalana here on the West Herr Hotline. Around the roster, a couple other interesting decisions. Keeping five wide receivers. Not abnormal. They've done it last year, but I think a lot of us were thinking Tyrell Shavers would be in the mix. I'm guessing he was right below that at six, so they go with five. Your thoughts on the decision to keep five and the five they kept?
Isn't it funny? I looked at those five receivers and I thought, well, that's what you would have said 4 months ago. Like, those guys are on the team. And then we kept thinking, like, is KJ Hamler going to sneak in? Shavers did everything you would have thought you would have wanted to see him do for a guy who was on the practice squad. And listen, there were opportunities this year. You know, maybe through injury and all, a lot of people were thinking about Justin Shorter making that leap, and that didn't happen. He got hurt too, and then he didn't get the reps. But Shavers had shown something, and then we watched him at times, you know, at camp, where he'd be getting some reps with the ones and making some plays, and he looked good. And what did Sean say? The picture of consistency out there. Doesn't mean they don't like him, but there is a point where you say, what's the role of that sixth wide receiver right now? And If he comes back on the practice squad, we know there's always the possibility of elevating. I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, you could have guys who get cut, go on the practice squad, and play before a guy on the 53-man roster who's just not active on that Sunday. So there is a lot of flexibility with the roster, but it did surprise me that there wasn't a sixth. But I also think, what's the role of the sixth is on teams? Is that taken maybe more by a linebacker or a safety than it is by another wide receiver?
You tweeted yesterday about Mike White after he was released. Yeah. I believe you did. And then the Bills actually wound up signing him. At least it's reported he's going to sign. It's not official yet. I like Mike White as well. I just think from what I've seen of him, I know that the numbers are a little uneven with the interceptions, but I think he's a gamer. What did you like? What do you like about Mike White or this situation for him coming into Buffalo?
I just feel like he's a guy who makes some plays. And I know there's a volatility to his game. You know, he's with the Jets. Like, you remember, he was like the hero in New York for a short period of time. I think he got a player of the week right before he played the Bills. And then it went south for him. And they bailed on him kind of quickly in that way. I think I just like what I have seen about the way that he plays. I think you get something out of him. And it's funny, I tweeted that I would like that, and then it was about maybe a half an hour later that the story came out that he had signed with the Bills. We'll wait to get that confirmed. And I'm thinking, Brandon Bean's, listening, and he's paying attention to what I want. But I think he was looking for a quarterback. And then you got to say to yourself, Sal, it's Mike White. Like, I'm not saying he's a priority guy, but is he coming here for 2 weeks? Like, is he coming here for a month? I guess he could be, jumping right on a practice squad. You would think he might have had some opportunities, that there may have been a clearer path to at least be in the backup. But we don't know about Mitch. We don't know about the injury. We don't know how long that will last. So let's see. But that's a pretty good third guy to have on your roster, even if he maybe does eventually be a two.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Do you think, are we going to hear in an hour and 20 minutes from now that Frank Gore got claimed by another team?
I'd be surprised. Not that Frank Gore can't play, but the trajectory usually of these kind of players is they get on a practice squad and then earn their way there. But he did, listen, another guy got opportunities and showed it. So somebody might have had their eye on him. He was an undrafted guy, and let's be honest, this was a weak draft in the second part of the draft. I think when you look at the players, you're going to see, when you look around the league, there's more sixth and seventh round picks that are cut. You see less undrafted free agents making rosters. I think around the league, the perception was this was not the strongest draft. Now, that doesn't mean Frank Gore Jr. can't play, but I always think about what team had him on their radar, what team was thinking about drafting him, what team likes his skill set and now is going to say, let's take our chance to put him on there. Maybe they didn't get the young back they needed. Maybe they don't have the depth there. It could happen. I hope for him it does. You heard him the other night. He's like, hey, I want to be here, but I root for them to get their opportunities. A lot of these guys would be great if they were in Buffalo, but they need to be somewhere because, you start with 90, it's 53, and there's a big difference between financially for any guy being on an active roster or being on the practice squad. So I hope for his sake he does, but if not, I hope he's with the Bills practice squad.
Mike Catalana, 13 Wham in Rochester. All right, let's take it in totality, Mike. You look at the 53-man roster. I know it might be massaged a little bit here. I get that, but where's your biggest concern on the Buffalo Bills 53-man roster now that it's all said and done?
I guess I look a little bit at the depth on the offensive line. I like the guys they kept, but I worry about the experience level that's there. I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in on the practice squad at least maybe another, like Collins got let go. Could he come back on the practice squad or does he get an opportunity somewhere? Just thinking of someone who has a little more experience at this level in case it's needed. I think based on the moves that they feel good, appears to be they feel good about Mike Edwards coming back in terms of his safety. I like their secondary a lot, Sal. That's one place I like the starters. I like the backup corners. I think that's a real positive for them. I guess you could always look at depth. They kept Casey Tuhill. You could look at depth in the pass rushers. They kept him, which I think to some people was a surprise because he had been injured too. But you need some depth there. You need guys that can just continue to rush the quarterback. So I like the Mike White move because I was concerned about quarterback in general. But I would say starting with just a little bit of depth on the offensive line, because one injury can really set you back a little bit there in terms of who you have to fill in.
By the way, Lee tweets in, and we've had a few people say this. Mike White, I mean, week two, Miami Dolphins, scout team quarterback, knows the playbook. Not a bad pickup there for Brandon Bean, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the priority, but it's not a bad thing to have happen,
right.
especially with the short week into game two, because you know that
coaches
have had to have one eye a little bit on what Miami's doing. The same thing Miami is doing for the Bills, as they've been getting ready for the Cardinals. I mean, you've got to focus on that first game, but that second one comes up quick. And let's be honest, it's not. Sometimes we hear this, and the guy's a wide receiver. He's a quarterback, and it's the early part of the year when you haven't seen the team play. That is not a bad addition to have, especially the guy doing the scout team, which would likely be the case, I would think, early on. Not bad at all. I think it's a bonus, and he's also a pretty talented guy to have in your room when you need it at quarterback.
Well, Mike, we had our 2 weeks where we drove to you. Now you have the next 5-plus months, hopefully plus, that you have to drive to us for practice.
Yeah.
What's that like for you every day? What do you do? What do you put on? Do you listen to tunes? What's the drive from Rochester to Buffalo or Orchard Park for you like when you do it?
Okay, so I'm going to lie to you and say Jenna just talks and talks and Dan and I listen.
I love it.
Does that sound like that would be the case? No, it's
usually, that'd be okay. She's very smart, so you should listen to Jenna.
Well, we should, but it's probably more Dan and I just talk and talk. Honestly, that's mostly what it is when we're coming up. It's Dan and I coming up today, okay. So it'll be interesting. But we may be with Dan. We may be talking home repairs. We may be talking what's going on with his kids. So those kind of things go on, but it usually takes up the time. We're so used to the throughway, you know,
Yeah. Thank
God for Easy Pass. You know, we just buzz back and forth and, we love coming to Richard Park.
You mentioned Jenna and Dan. Tell everybody about the YouTube Plus channel. You guys are doing a great job over there.
Thanks. Buffalo Plus. You just put that in. We've got our daily, well, basically during the season, we're probably putting up 5-6 different videos a week. You know, we travel to every game. We do our practice reports. We do our podcasts. We do interviews with people at other teams. Like, we'll have somebody from the Cardinals come on. So we have a lot of fun with it. It's just Buffalo Plus. Just check it out.
You got it. Buffalo Plus on YouTube. Thanks a lot, Mike. I'll see you later today.
All right, Sal.
All right, you got it. Mike Catalano does a great job. By the way, Mike, I should he's over now, and I forgot to congratulate him on the air. I'm so sorry, Mike. He is getting inducted in the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I did a little video with him on a video podcast I have over at Sal Sports YouTube channel as well during training camp. So you can check that out. We talked about that a lot, and we broke down the Bills during training camp and about his journey and getting to the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame. So, you know, anyway, I apologize for not saying that on the air while he was here, but we had talked about it earlier, and so everybody knows Mike is getting inducted along with John Murphy. Long time, of course, voice of the Buffalo Bills and legendary broadcaster here in Western New York. So two great additions to the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame, including Mike Catalano right there. We appreciate his time. When we come back, Josh Allen had an interesting tweet in response to something that was put out about him yesterday. I'll tell you what that is next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So Josh Allen was voted, apparently, named, ranked, 103 players surveyed by ESPN, the most overrated quarterback in the league, number one. Number two, Jalen Hurts. Number three, Tua. A tied, actually. Hurts and Tua tied. Number four. By the way, if you're going to do a list and two people are tied or something's tied, the next one is not the same. So it doesn't go 1, 2, 2, 3. It goes 1, 2, 2, 4. Screwing me up here reading this list. Come on, let's learn how to do it, people. So Allen was apparently voted by 103 NFL players as the most overrated quarterback in the league. Whoever these players were, I'm not really sure. Probably people who just are very jealous of Josh Allen, to be quite honest with you, for whatever reason. However, how about your Buffalo Bills quarterback leaning into it and responding? Because he was also named the number one trash talker. Okay, there's got to be a correlation there, right? If Josh Allen is always trash talking you and he beats you and he trash talks you, you're going to hate him. Then you're going to say he's overrated. Okay. I mean, the dude's been in the running for the MVP like three times in the last 4 or 5 years. And yeah, he hasn't won one yet, hasn't won a Super Bowl. I get it. Maybe that's it. Haven't won a Super Bowl. I mean, what are you going to do if you know you don't have the hardware? I don't know. Whatever reason they have, he was also voted like as number whatever was in the top 100. Pretty low, pretty good ranking. So those same players are voting them. So there's a group that thinks that, oh, he's really good. Then he's overrated. Anyway, the point is, so Josh Allen on his official X/Twitter, which is at Josh Allen QB, wrote, so you're telling me I was voted as the number one best trash talker? Let's go. Yes, he's leaning into it. He knows what he's doing there. That's an elite tweet right there. It's an elite response. I love it. Leaning into it. Who cares? He doesn't care. I remember someone sent me this actually. So thank you for doing that. Someone sent me a picture of when back in the mid 2000s, some assistant coach called Jerry McNamara overrated apparently in the ACC, right? They did go, he's overrated. Big East even at the time, whatever it was. And I remember Jim Boeheim laying in. He said, whoever thinks he's overrated isn't going to be an assistant or coach long in this league, right? But anyway, the team came out with shirts very like shortly after that with the words overrated on it with Jerry McNamara. It was great. So maybe that's what will happen. Maybe we'll have shirts made overrated to put a chip on his shoulder. I don't think Josh cares that much, to be honest. I'm sure like at some level, everyone cares like what your peers think about you. But I love the fact that he's leaned into it. Check it out. It's at Josh Allen QB on X. So you're telling me I'm the number one? I'm voted number one? Trash talker. Yes. And he is. If you watch the NFL 100, by the way, with Josh and his like spot there where they put him on, you'll see what I mean by like the trash talking. All these guys are like, oh my God, this dude does not stop. Like he's just trash talking you all the time. Whereas like apparently like Burrow is like super polite and nice. And Josh Allen's just this big trash talker. By the way, Josh Allen is very polite and nice. But when he's on the field, he likes to get into you a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. It's very competitive. It's a highly competitive game. Bill's 53-man roster is set. And we're talking about it. One of the things that they did was make a trade yesterday. Brandon Codrington is the name of the player they got back in a trade with the New York Jets. Codrington is a corner, but he's really here to be a return man. And Boy Green is his name. Paul Esden does a radio show in Syracuse, and he also hosts a daily show called Boy Green Daily. So I reached out to him. He's been on the show many times. Ask him about Brandon Codrington. So we're going to do that next when we come back. Also, Mike White, who spent several years in New York with the Jets before going to the Miami Dolphins. Thanks a lot for coming aboard. 803-0550 at Sal Sports. And when you do all that, it's getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And of course, it's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Paul Esden, Boy Green, up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.